Hello, Gospel for Grampian Youth. Welcome to our Sunday 10 o'clock Yellow on Air program. Yes, every Sundays we come to you with young adult life orientation produced by Women of Africa Care and sponsored by Rob and Helen Rowe, the founders of Gospel for Grampian UK radio station. We are very privileged to have this program broadcasted weekly at 10 a.m. on a Sunday and repeated at 10 p.m. on a Monday on Gospel for Grampian Radio. And if you cannot make either of these broadcasts on air, then you get to have the privilege of downloading the broadcast on Podbean and listening to it at any time, whenever you want. This is 59 minutes of inspiration using real life issues out there to encourage our youth to become the best version of themselves. And so this week we've got a very, very, very important topic to discuss with you. It is episode 21, and we are talking about digiphrenia, identity thief, using virtual identities to steal your true identity and purpose. Satan is using virtual platforms to lure our young adults into fantasy identities in order to steal their purpose. Now, I want to go back to the beginning. In Genesis 1:27, this is what God created. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves in the earth." When you read this, dear youth, you acknowledge that God created us human beings in his image and likeness. And he designed our life on the earth to be able to live on the earth. That means we have a physical body. We have a mind, will, and emotions, which is our soul that lives in our body, which is our personality. And then in there we have emotions, we have a voice, we have expressions, we have mobility because our hands and feet move, our bodies move, we speak. And God gave us dominion over the creation on the earth. He said to mankind, "You will have dominion over the birds that fly in the air, over the ocean fish that live in the water, and over every living thing that creeps on land." So God created us to live in a natural habitat called the earth, and he gave us dominion over the natural environment, life species. Now, when you look at virtual identities, it is a fantasy world that is created in a digital platform. There is nothing of God in that design. There is no identity of God in there, and there is nothing natural, and there is nothing real in there. So when you allow virtual platforms to define who you are, and you allow the virtual community to define and validate who you are, then you have actually lost your existential nature, because God created you in his image with a body, given you his spirit, and in that spirit that he's given you, he's now given you the Holy Spirit who lives in your spirit. So if you decide to allow yourself to live in a virtual world with a virtual identity, then God is not present with you, because God is present in your physical body, residing in your spirit man. In your virtual identity, God did not create you there. God does not live in a fantasy world. And therefore, you are separating yourself from God and from who God created you to be. You are separating yourself from your purpose and your identity and from God when you allow virtual identity to define you. Virtual identity is called digiphrenia, and it is one of the major ways that the devil is using to steal our youth identity. Even adults are now going into these avatar modes to define a reality that does not exist. I want to remind you, you live in a body, you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you are a spirit being. When you distract yourself from reality and allow the virtual platform to define who you are, you lose your existence as a spirit being. You end up separating yourself from a kingdom that can only be sourced through your spirit man. You have to be alive to your natural body, alive to your identity that God created in you, which resides in your personality, which is in your human body, and which is defined by the spirit of God that lives in your spirit man. Nothing of the virtual platform can help you live out your earthly life successfully. And nothing of the virtual identity exists in eternity. The digital platform was created by human beings. It was a design by IT experts. That is the digital platform. It was created by human beings on the earth as a fantasy platform. It does not have an eternal longevity. It ceases to exist when digital means no longer is accessible. But your physical body ceases to exist when you leave the earth, but your soul and your spirit body lives forever. So if you choose to neglect your eternity, which is your spirit being and your soul, and focus on a virtual reality, you are actually living a life that is not real and has no eternal value. I want to remind you again, youth, what God said through Paul in the book of Corinthians, that when Jesus comes back to collect us, he is coming with a reward. And that reward is going to be tested through everything we build on the earth. Jesus says that he's going to test everything we did on the earth. And with fire, he's going to test it. And if whatever we built on the earth is consumed by the fire, we will not have an eternal reward. While we might still live with him forever because we have received salvation and we are children of God, we will not have an eternal reward for anything we built that was not built on God. And so a virtual reality is not built on God. So a life you're trying to live that is not a reality is not going to give you any reward. Think about a virtual platform as a fantasy in your mind. You have got no mobility because it's really your mind living in a reality that doesn't exist. Your earth cannot move. Your body cannot move in that reality. You have got no purpose in that reality because it is not true. It is not real. So you're basically stuck in your mind in a fantasy that does not exist. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, source of life and identity comes from the living God." So you are a spirit being, therefore can now partake of the divine nature of God by becoming one in spirit with God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in you. I want to remind you, my beautiful youth, the Spirit of God cannot live in a virtual platform because your virtual platform is not the real you. Your spirit man is in your physical body, housed in your physical body, and that is where the Holy Spirit lives. So the oneness of God in us is in your body, in your natural earth body, and therefore your virtual reality is going to separate you from enjoying the life of God if you allow yourself to be defined by a virtual community. If you allow media and digital applications and entertainment to define your identity, you will be displaced from your life in God and your purpose of existence. Let's talk about what is digiphrenia, virtual identities. Media theorist Douglas Rushkoff doing a campaign in the UK, he coined the term digiphrenia to describe the confused mental state that comes with having too many identities running in parallel. He says marketers would do well to remember the sometimes dramatic differences between consumers' online persona and opinions and their real life actions and purchase decisions, because they've got two different identities. While mention of Second Life might feel like something from a bygone age, the profound difference between consumers' real life and virtual selves remains, even if they have replaced their avatar with a perfectly posed Facebook profile picture. There is a big difference between their reality and their virtual selves, according to the studies that marketers have evaluated in campaignlive.co.uk. Now, how growing up digitally affects your identity? Let's look at a report by Chandra Johnson. She wrote an article on Deseret News relating to digiphrenia. She says that digiphrenia representation of self is a digital representation of you. It's people getting to communicate with you via digital form, and there is this digital personality that is formed but can be far from the reality of who you are. She says that teenagers are seeking validation from digital communities, seeking identity validation from friends and strangers, often via social media. As a new generation comes of age online, the internet could be affecting how they form their identity. When British 14-year-old Hannah Smith turned to popular social networking site in July 2013, she wanted reassurance. Stressed out from studying for exams and anxious about the return of eczema that made her feel ugly, she opened up about her feelings on the site, which allows users to post questions others can respond to anonymously. The responses came in rapid succession. Anonymous posters urged Smith to cut herself and drink bleach. One even said, "Do us all a favor and kill yourself." When Smith did just that a month later, her father blamed the anonymity of Ask FM's commenters for his daughter's death. The family demanded action against the site, and Smith's death made international headlines about the effects of cyberbullying. What detectives found out was arguably much more tragic was that this young girl sent the hateful messages to herself, hoping her friends would rally her in defense. While cases like Smith's are rare, Smith was doing what most teenagers do. She was seeking identity validation from friends and strangers, often via social media. As a new generation comes of age, says Chandra, the internet could be affecting how they form their identity. The need for validation and confirmation that you're okay is so huge. Stena Adar said, "Parents often say, how could you go on a site where people can anonymously respond to whatever your question is? Am I cute? Am I fat?" But we're forgetting what it means to be a teenager when we say things like that. A study in 2010 from York University found that people with lower self-esteem spent more time online and posted more self-promotional content to sites like Facebook. Stena Adair says that while technology changed how teens seek and get feedback about identity, teen behavior is much the same, online versus real-time identities. Experts like Stena Adair and Dr. David Greenfield say the fact that many teens view their online and real-time identities as identical can be a recipe for disaster. "The problem is impulse control," says Greenfield. an assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine, and founder of the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction. He says that because teens' brains aren't fully developed, they don't have the impulse control to understand the damage they can do online. This group doesn't differentiate. They see their real-time identity and their online identity as identical when in fact they've not. Greenfield said, along with that, there's now no delay between the urge to do something and the ability to broadcast it instantaneously. They do and say things online that they ordinarily wouldn't do because it doesn't feel real to them. But what you do in cyberspace follows you into real space. Wow, youth, are you listening to this article by Chandra? When the online and real-time identities don't match, or when a horde of anonymous commentators say they don't, it can be dangerous, Dana Adder said. Kids spend a lot of time crafting their identity that you hope people will respond favorably to. Dana Adder said, when they feel desperate for feedback or curious in a risky way, social networking sites like Ask.fm play very much on the vulnerability of teens and preteens' desire to not only know what people think of them, but their hopes that they've seen as cool and their hunger for approval. The struggle to differentiate technology can also make it more difficult to form an identity. There are more versions of self than ever before, which give kids who may already be struggling to figure out who they are even more to juggle. In an interview with NPR media theorist and author Douglas Rushkoff explained the feeling in a term he coined digiphrenia. Digiphrenia is the experience of trying to exist in more than one incarnation of yourself at the same time. There's your Twitter profile, your Facebook profile, your email inbox. Rushkoff said all of these sort of multiple instances of you are operating simultaneously and in parallel. And that's not only really comfortable position for most human beings. It's not a comfortable position for most human beings. He says that in their effort to individualize on the web, teens use different accounts in different ways, as researcher Katie Davis found out while co-authoring The App Generation. How today's youth navigate identity, intimacy, and imagination in a digital world. There's this interesting dichotomy online where there's an emphasis towards identity consolidation and having this crystallized identity that is well formed for many different audiences versus an increased opportunity to present different identities. Davis said, explaining that teens often adapt their online identities almost like creating a brand. The focus on the external image distracts them from the creation of a true identity, which Davis says takes serious meditation. They're tailoring and promoting almost a brand self. If you've all of your time projecting an identity externally, it crowds out the time you have for internal reflection. If they're on Facebook, their identities are available for many different audiences to see. So that restricts how they can express themselves because they have to make sure it's okay for a wide audience, Davis said. The natural urge to seek approval online can create a dependency on the internet, Greenfield said. Because teens are digital natives, they have a higher likelihood for addiction. He says you can see it in the way teens handle their cell phones. Now, gospel for Grampian youth. This is a serious problem because you could be losing your identity to a fantasy that has no eternal reward or eternal longevity. You are robbing yourself of living in a world that does not exist. Imagine God gave you 120 years to live on the earth. with purpose, on purpose, sent His Holy Spirit in the earth to help you live out the God-given purpose He's given you. In Ephesians 2:10, He says that you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that He prepared in advance for you to do. For you to have an online virtual identity, you are unable to do the good works that God designed you to do, because you have to operate in your God-given identity in order for you to fulfill that good works that God has given you to do. So when you allow digital platforms and fantasy worlds to define who you are, then you are actually wasting your 120 years in a reality that does not exist, because it is virtual, it is a fantasy, it is created by man on an electronic digital platform that messes up your mind. So you basically, like the movie Avatar, where you sleep in this little confined instrument and you've got this gadget on your head that makes you live out a mental reality that is not true. And that is exactly what you do, youth, when you decide to allow digital platforms to define who you are. So recently I completed a book called Graciously Broken. As the Spirit of the Lord led me, I wrote this book over a few months, and it is going to be published in the next coming months. And for today's discussion, I felt compelled to read a section of my writing to you on youth today. And in there, I talk about I discover myself. And why I'm telling you this today is because when you spend time with God, you discover yourself. And I want to help you discover yourself today through the eyes of me identifying myself in Christ Jesus. I want to remind you, dear youth, Psalms 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made you, youth, and you are His. You are His people, the sheep of His pasture." I want to remind you that you are a God kind. And today I want to talk to you about your God kind versus the mankind created through digital platforms. Okay, so you are God kind, and there's a digital platform that has created virtual identities. So I want to talk about your kind in comparison to the digital reality that the enemy is deceiving you through, stealing your identity. Does your identity matter? Does your kind as God kind really matter? I'm going to use the example of the species of horses to illustrate the importance of your origin kind, your God kind. According to studies, there are 850 breeds of horses and ponies, but only 5 breeds are classified as a distinction that horse owners admire. These horses' genetics, qualities, capabilities, and distinct characteristics is what makes them renowned. As an example, the draft breeds, they are described as the cold-blooded, heavy horses used for pulling heavy loads and were used in battle to carry soldier weaponry. They have thick coats and manes that help them endure cold weather conditions. They have tranquil temperaments, hence labeled gentle giants. The draft breeds come in different types, such as the Clydesdale, the Percheron, and Belgian. Breed matters. Horse breeding matters. Your kind matters. Your creed matters. Like the draft breed adding value in battlefields as mode of transportation in war zone areas, some breed of horses are sensitive of chaos. But the draft breed are gentle giants designed for volatile environments. In using this example of horses, Our breed as God kind matters as it classifies our distinction as the human race, and it displays our inherent intellectual nature, our moral conscientiousness, and our abilities that the Spirit of God has given us. While there might be 850 breeds of horses, there are only 5 breeds that are categorized as a breed of distinction. You might be thinking, there is only one breed of the human race. How will you be classified as a class of distinction? All human beings were designed to be a class of distinction in their own right. Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father God are all an individual class of distinction on their own. And each human being is designed uniquely to be a class of distinction like God the Father, God Jesus Christ, and God Holy Spirit. And because God is a class of distinction on their own as the Trinity, esteeming one another more highly than themselves because they each value and appreciate their own identity. And God created us, each individual, never to see ourselves lower than anybody else, but to uplift one another as a class of distinction in our own right. And no virtual design can make you a class of distinction, because anything created by man is lesser than your original design. If you go into an app to define who you are, you lost your class of distinction, because your class of distinction, youth, is found in Jesus Christ. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Anything that we allow to define us that is not God is not a class of distinction. You are below who God says you are. And that is what the devil wants to do. He wants you to be lower and lesser than your original identity and design. Adam and Eve were designed like God. Woman, distinct class of human. Man, distinct class of human. Until sin entered their lives. Humans, unless born again and exercising the renewal of their mind, they are crossbreeds in conflict between two natures, the God kind and the devil kind. Remember, before Adam and Eve sinned, they were 100% God kind. But when they sinned, they became the devil kind. Then when Jesus came and paid for the salvation of humanity, every person who received Jesus Christ as Lord has become God kind in their spirit. But their soul and their body needs to conform to that image of who their spirit man is. And until you and I, Gospel for Grampian Youth, renew our mind to the image that we are created in Christ Jesus, we will always be a crossbreed in conflict between the God kind and our carnal nature. And so already in there is conflict between our identity if we don't allow the Word of God to define and renew us. Now, when you decide to leave God out of the picture and you decide to go and conform yourself to a virtual reality, then you actually have gone far from your original design, because you are now in a fantasy design that actually does not have any life in it. It is a digital virtual platform. The article on the draft horse breed goes further on to state, in addition, draft horse crossbreeds can be ideal first horses. This statement is saying crossbreed draft horses have less horsepower than the thoroughbred. There are many people living below the human class of distinction, just like the draft crossbreed, because of adherence to sin nature. Now imagine you leaving your human breed and you are now going into a digital breed and conformity. Even though humans are God's design, the sin nature has caused people to behave as crossbreeds. Human potential and nature is constrained by the deception of the devil of old, who goes around tempting humanity. Those who accept the devil's temptation falls into the nature of conforming to the design of the fallen angel, Satan, and living below their human design. You will recall how the fallen angels try to literally procreate a crossbreed species between humans and angelic evil beings. God created humans in his image to rule and dominate, whereas angels were created to serve the human beings. When people reject God and his authority, they are automatically following the devil and becoming slaves to the devil, who is inferior to them. Thereby, humans lose their value as God-kind. Angels and demons and humankind are two different breed of beings. There was never supposed to be a crossbreed between these two species, because humans are superior to angelic beings. When humans submit to angelic beings, they lose their value in their submission. Just like that, dear youth, when you submit to a digital platform and a digital identity, you lose your value in the ecosystem of this world. You're losing your value. You were created to rule in a natural environment, not in a virtual platform. The minute you allow yourself to be accepted and celebrated as an avatar, you are missing your whole reason of existence and purpose. You are allowing a digital platform to define who you are. You are putting your hands in a digital environment to define you and your eternal existence. And that eternal existence will never ever exist in a digital platform. Women at the time of Noah's existence lost their ability to discern angelic and human men due to sin nature. They entertained sexual relationships with angels, which God declared was an abomination. It is forbidden. Women birthed forth evil kind of species called Nephilim. These species created great chaos on the earth that God had to destroy the crossbreed species through the great flood. In Genesis 6, 1 to 7, you read about the flood of Noah. There must be only one breed of humans, and that is the God breed, through natural means between a human male and a human female. God's handiwork takes place in the womb of a mother. As a result, you understand Psalms 139:14, for you were formed in your mother's womb in the inward parts. God covered you in your mother's womb, youth. You are supposed to praise God, for he fearfully and wonderfully made you. Marvelous are God's works of you, and your soul should know that very well. Your frame was not hidden from God when God made you in secret. He skillfully wrought you in the lowest parts of the earth in your mother's womb. God's eyes saw your substance being yet unformed, and in God's books you were written. The days of your life were fashioned by God, when as yet there were none of them. Before you were born, dear youth, God established you because he had you in mind. He knew into which womb you would be established. He knew the day, the time, the season would be your birth time. He created you in the image of him in your mother's womb. And that is who you are. You cannot allow any other means of existence or platforms on the earth to define your reality, to define who you are. Another distinction of humans, using the example of horses and as an illustration of our effectiveness as God's original design. Thoroughbred horses are the third most popular horse and is described as the most popular racing horse in North America. It is labeled hot-blooded because of its qualities of speed, agility, and spirit. Its main purpose of use is for horse racing competitions and show jumping. And for those who love animals as pets, horses provide fun for horse riding. Notice the word thoroughbred describes the innate qualities of the horse, which gives the horse value and a purpose to exercise its full potential, which they call horsepower. Now, like a thoroughbred horse classification defines its identity with a purpose, when human beings understand their God-kind design, they too are alive in divine purpose. They're aligning themselves to divine purpose because they understand they are a thoroughbred of God's design, put on the earth to be fruitful, to multiply, to occupy the earth, and to have dominion and rulership over the natural environment of the earth, not a fantasy that is not real. God places so much value on our distinction, youth, that when John bowed down to the angel said to John, "Don't do that. I am a fellow servant as you, who have to obey the word of God just like you." The angel is telling John here, "I serve God like you. Don't worship me." The only angel that makes people worship him is the fallen angel, which is the devil. The devil told Jesus, "If you bow down and worship me, I will give you the riches of the earth." Human beings who are short-sighted of God fall into the temptations of the devil and become slaves to the carnal life, losing their inherent nature and potential, and become a slave to inferiority. When you allow a digital system to define your value and purpose and validate you, you have become a slave to a machine. You have become inferior. You can't serve the devil, who is inferior to your design, and expect to live out your God potential. Human distinction does not make allowance for us to bow down to anything lesser than God and to believe anything lesser than what God's word says. That is why God says we must not bow down and worship anything such as humans, animals, carved images, celestial beings, etc. This is in Deuteronomy 4, 15, 20. Why? What you worship, you submit to. You become what you worship. If you worship the devil, then you cannot be anything better than the devil. If you worship idols, you become deaf, dumb, and blind to your true nature. Why do you think those who worship idols believe they will be reincarnated into some form that is lesser than their human design? Idol worshippers believe the next level they could be would be an animal, insect, flower. When you worship a piece of carved wood or animal form image or anything that is not God, you blindly conform to a reality belief that your value in your next life is taking the form of a cat or an insect or a rock or a flower, and you don't challenge that conviction because you are blinded and deafened and dumbed by the truth of worshiping the things that are anything by God. You begin to think that those things are the truth because what you worship, you become. So if you worship the digital platform as your identity, then you are going to believe that that virtual reality is your reality, when in fact it is a fantasy that does not exist. There is no life in it. There is no breath of God in it. There is no flesh in it. It is a digital platform created by a digital machine. Let that machine seize, that identity seizes. That means you lose yourself in the whole process because you put your value in a digital platform. God requests us, youth, to worship him and him alone so that you can retain your originality as God's design, because worship transforms people into the nature of who and what they worship. When God tells you to worship him because he wants you to conform into the image of who you are in him, you go from glory to glory as you worship God in spirit and in truth. What you worship shapes your design, shapes your reality, shapes your identity, shapes your purpose. Thoroughbred Christians discover their design in God through relationship. Crossbreed lukewarm Christians discover themselves between two worlds, the carnal world and the spiritual world. A person that conforms to a digital platform discovers themselves in a digital world that is fantasy. Non-believers discover themselves in the devil and his ways in whatever form that they worship the devil. Creation adapts to its environments. What you focus on matters. Fellowshipping with people doesn't change you. However, placing focus on fellow humans or anything lesser than God that causes you to change your inherent nature is worshiping that person. Hence, it leads you to change your original self to conform to the environment that you place focus on. That habitual focus takes the place of the Zoe life of God, influencing your distinction. You then succumb to human carnal attributes, reproducing yourself through digital platforms, digiphrenia, or idols, or whatever you're conforming yourself to that is below who God is. Worshipping God, my youth, is necessary to preserve your habitat and your divine distinction as unique original self, as Psalms 135 says. You were created and knitted together, uniquely handcrafted, original design. There is nobody else like you. You're a thoroughbred human being. While there's billions of human beings on the earth, you have unique fingerprints. You are unique in every way. While you might have the genes of your biological parent, you are unique in every way because God does not make a copy and paste. Every human being is unique in their own way. So if you don't conform to God's ways, you become the design and the copy of everything that you worship. Only God is supernaturally unique. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. He is the creator that always exists. Angels did not exist before God. Angels were created in the same time frame as we were being created. God spoke about it. From day one to day seven, he created the universe. And in the universe, as he was creating all things, he created the heavenly host and he created the earthly host. But before he created all those things, God existed. And so you cannot put your confidence and leave your identity to anything but God. Because anything that is not God is never an original design. Only God creates an original design. I mean, scripture teaches us in the book of Job that even the snowflakes, not one snowflake is the same, is duplicated. So imagine us human beings, uniquely created as God's design. And when you choose to allow anything else, people or things of the earth that you worship or digital platforms to define your identity and design, you will always be a inferior human being below your original design. You will conform to something that is not your original design. You lose your class of distinction when you place focus on anything below God long enough, as it will influence your inherent nature. Notice little kids who spend time with animals. They start barking like a dog, meowing like a cat. Likewise, adults speak like, talk like, walk like, and often desire what those they focus on most have. That is idolizing others, which is called worshiping other people. Worship must only be reserved for God if you want to experience the human potential that God has designed you to live as. You need to get rid of the crossbreed and align yourself to your God-kind nature. Spending time youth with God is where you preserve your class of a distinction in terms of individuality and originality. Through one couple, Adam and Eve, human beings lost their identity through crossbreeding their spirit with the spirit of the devil. Mankind was born in sin. Good and evil came forth from their hearts. Jesus came. That's the good news, youth. Jesus came and restored humankind to their original design. For humans to live in this design, you must first accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. And then you need to renew your mind to the gospel truth. Romans 12:2. Therefore, I urge you, youth, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will. You see, when you worship God, you appreciate who you are in Him because you worship God from your spirit, man. That means you're no longer attached or conformed to a reality that is not true. You're not conformed to the digital platform. You're not conformed to people's views and opinions, but you are worshiping God in your spirit. And then you begin to conform to that perfect will that God created you to conform to. I want to read you something very, very important today, dear youth. This was an article written by designer Klaus Schwab. He is the founder and executive of the chairman of the World Economic Forum. In this article on the fourth industrial revolution, Klaus talks about the revolution that is transforming human design. Now, this is very important, and I want you to listen to his concerns about artificial intelligence as the fourth industrial revolution that is a threat to the human species. The fourth industrial revolution finally, says Claus, will change not only what we do, but also who we are. It will affect our identity and all the issues associated with it. Our sense of privacy, our notions of ownership, our consumption patterns, the time we devote to work and leisure, and how we develop our careers, cultivating our skills, meeting people, and nurturing relationships. It is already changing our health and leading to a quantified self. And sooner than we think, it may lead to human augmentation. The list is endless because it is bound only by our imagination. He says this, I am a great enthusiast and early adapter of technology, but sometimes I wonder whether the inexorable integration of technology in our lives could diminish some of our quintessential human capacities, such as compassion and cooperation. Our relationship with our smartphones is a case in point. Constant connection may deprive us of one of life's most important assets, the time to pause, reflect, and engage in meaningful conversation. One of the greatest individual challenges posed by new information technology is privacy. We instinctively understand why it is so essential, yet the tracking and sharing of information about us is a crucial part of the new connectivity. Debates about fundamental issues such as the impact of our inner lives of the loss of control over our data will only intensify in the years ahead. Similarly, the revolutions occurring in biotechnology and AI, which are redefining what it means to be human by pushing back the current thresholds of lifespan, health, cognition, and capabilities, will compel us to redefine our moral and ethical boundaries. Now, come on, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Before we even touch on AI, the very fact that we are depending on digital platforms to validate our identity and to promote an identity that is far from the truth of who we are, What do you think? How easy will it be for us to now conform to augmentation of artificial intelligence? Remember the story or the movie of RoboCop, where you've got a human augmented into a machine? Well, if we begin to be fantasizing over a existence that is not a reality, why on earth will we not now suddenly fall for the trap of augmentation in AI? We got to be careful what we allow to renew our thinking. Summarizing Clark's comments that are of concern in terms of the revolution tampering with our divine design. One, he says it will affect our identity. Two, he says our ability to interact as human beings who are being shaped into a robotic mindset. I'm reminded about the scripture in Matthew 24, 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Robotic mindset is going to make people loveless, brutal, and ruthless. Human augmentation, replacing valuable human mobility organs such as hands, legs, limbs, maybe even replacing eyesight with robotic view. People who lack mobility and seek physical perfection, manpower will opt human augmentation. Come on, beautiful youth. Again, I'm thinking about this RoboCop, advancement of human species. Excuse my vision here. But if you read further, he says, similarly, the revolutions occurring in biotechnology and AI, which are redefining what it means to be human by pushing back the current thresholds of lifespan, health, cognition, and capabilities, will compel human beings to redefine their moral and ethical boundaries. Youth, as human beings, as these decision makers revolutionize industrialization, we could be losing our logic and allowing technological advancements to redefine the human species, the human design. The serpent of old, at procreating through angelic human intercourse, is now through industrial revolution promoting carnality by deceiving humans into creating artificial intelligence species that are transhumanism, semi-human, semi-robotic. Humans are rapidly moving away from their divine design and succumbing to the byproducts of man-made philosophies and technologies. Humans are becoming lovers of themselves, deceived by their carnal desires. They are deceived into preferring robotic and fantasy digital platforms versus their inherent nature in God. When humans fall in love with artificial intelligence designs and animated personalities and unnatural relationships such as lesbianism and gay, which can't create natural reproduction, humans are heading for human extinction. Leave alone hell, because robotic creation cannot promote human production. Lesbianism and gay cannot produce human reproduction. So you can see artificial intelligence, virtual fantasies, and unhealthy human relationships such as lesbianism and transgender and gay cannot produce human reproduction. Where are we heading? Human extinction. Leave alone hell for those who live and follow the practices without repentance. What you focus on long enough, you become. Let us look at the movie Avatar. It is a man living in a metaverse world where he puts on a set of gadgets and suddenly his mind is in another world and he's led to believe he is someone else living in another planet. He spends most of his natural life in a machine enjoying a fantasy that he's convinced is his better life when it's a mental imagery, that's all it is. He has lost his years of life through mental imagery hosting in an entertainment machine. He's in love with a virtual family and wife that doesn't exist. and get the reality of this. Many people who watch the movie Avatar have identity issues. They underwent a post-Avatar depression called PAD. People who watched Avatar and fantasized over the movie underwent a post-Avatar depression where they experienced realizing that the world they live in sucks and they will never be able to fly, jump, or live like the Navi do on Pandora. And these viewers are now longing for an utopian world. Imagine that deception. I believe Gospel for Grampian Youth. This desire has invaded most homes through gaming, movies, and access to media, global social communities, Facebook, all of these artificial recreation personality applications that have caused people to lack the intelligence to discern what is false and what is reality. And so, Gospel for Grampian listeners, as we end our show today, I want to reassure you that you are a family of God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received God, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." See what kind of love the Father has given you, youth, that he has given to you his love, that you are called the children of God. The reason why the world does not know him is because they did not accept him. But the minute, youth, you became a child of God, you are adopted into God's family. And the only way you can conform to that adopted nature is by spending time with God, which is your reality. If you do not spend time with God and you decide to put more effort into digital realities, fantasies, and artificial intelligence creations, you are going to end up becoming a machine. You are going to end up living in a virtual fantasy world for the rest of your life on the earth. And then when Jesus comes to take us and collects us, and then your reality suddenly wakes up when you realize, my gosh, your earth life was wasted through an identity that does not exist because the devil stole your identity through platforms that you entertained instead of you entertaining yourself through the word of God and what God says you are. 1 Peter 2:9 says, youth, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his special own people, that you may proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, Peter begs you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak about you, or if they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, youth, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. I want to remind you today, Gospel for Grampian Youth, Jeremiah 29:11. God says he knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That hope and future and plans you find in God and not anywhere else. I pray today that if you are experiencing addictions to digiphrenia and any other way platforms, I pray that today you will have a awakening to realize that God is the only platform for you to find your identity and your purpose in this life, and your purpose has eternal value. So don't waste your eternal value worshiping things that has no reality. I love you. Be blessed until next week.